Thanks, Grant. And how many people are going to bring a washing basket next week just for fun? I reckon that's an awesome idea. I think that's great. Yeah, well, bless you this morning and greetings and blessings this morning if you're online. If you want to preach this morning, teach this morning about the favour of God. And I pray that this will really touch your heart and also gird you up ready for the days ahead, okay? So when I was a little girl, and we've got a slide there, I think, which is probably a very grainy photograph, but that's me, and I think it was my fifth birthday because there's my brand new school bag there ready to go. Yeah, there's a point. Which one's me? The one with blonde hair and blue eyes? Yeah. So on my knee is a little doll, and her name was Lindy, and I'm going to talk to you briefly. It's all right, all the guys, don't switch out right now. There's something in this, all right? I'm going to talk to you briefly about Lindy and what happened with Lindy. So, as you can see, the day I was given her, she actually looked, well, you may not be able to see, but she really looked lovely. She had long blonde hair and little those eyes that flip open and shut, you know, and I just thought she was absolutely wonderful. But, you know, as the years went by, particularly the next 2 years, I discovered some things about Lindy. And one of the things, the first thing I discovered was that her hair didn't grow back. And I also discovered that when you put nail polish on a dolly's fingernails and you're only 5 or 6, it tends to go halfway up the arm and not just stay on the nails. And so her hands and her arms didn't look so flesh after a couple of years either. I also found that when you use a red felt pen on a plastic doll's mouth and you're a bit shaky because you're only 5 or 6, it tends to sort of dribble down the side and it goes into the plastic and stays there, and no matter how hard you scrub, it just stays. So within a couple of years, Lindy had a fringe that sort of started up at the bald patch and went down, and not a lot of other hair. And she had this lipstick job that was seriously bad, and now road on the corner of Horsell Junction Road and Horsell Road. And I went there, and once a year they would have a church fair. Now, one year, as a fundraiser, they decided they were going to have a bride doll competition, and all the little girls in the church were going to have their favourite doll and present it in a bride dress. And then the idea was that people would pay to vote for that particular doll. So it was a fundraiser, right? So who knows how much it was, probably 5 cents in those days. Anyway, they paid for a vote, and then at the end the votes were collated, and the one with most votes won. Well, I remember going in with my mum and my dad into the room to see the bride doll presentation at the end, because I insisted that Lindy had to go in and that I wanted to be in the competition. And remember, this is like 2 years down the track, so Lindy looks beautiful in my eyes. Mum had gone to a neighbour and asked her if she would make a bride dress for Lindy. Mum was probably being as optimistic as she possibly could, all things considered. Now, I remember as a little girl walking into that room and suddenly being aware that my doll was the ugliest doll in the show. I looked at all these other pristine dolls, and there was Lindy, and for the first time I noticed that her fringe started at the bald patch and that the nail polish went up to her elbows, and that it wasn't a beautiful little red pout. It was something that dribbled right down past your chin. And then the next thing I noticed stunned me. She had a first prize certificate on her. And you know, it wasn't until after Wes and I were married that my mum pulled me aside one day and she said, "Do you know, we are looking at God's favour, our Father's favour, because you know, our Father's incredibly generous. John 3:16 said, he gave his only begotten son. He gave for us. You know, he prepared before time his favour for us." We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at what God has actually done for us behind the scenes, behind our back. He is better than any secret Santa. He is the best. And just like my dad, behind the scenes, paid for all those votes. And my dad was not a rich man. My dad was a truck driver. I don't know how much of his pay for that week went on to that, into those votes. I was stunned when my mum told me. But you see, behind the scenes, God's got your back and you've got his favour. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as in his love he chose us in Christ. He actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world, before we were ever thinking of him, before we were ever created, before the foundation of the world, he was already choosing to favor us so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace and favour, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, pardon of our sin, in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. That's our dad. That's our heavenly dad. That's him. Hey, do you know, when you look in the Bible, and I think this will be a good exercise for all of us. Actually, I was going to tease you and tell you that we're going to actually do this right now, but I won't. There are at least 64 verses, Bible verses, about the undeserved favour of God. 64. That would be a good Google search to do this week. Look up the scriptures. Begin to look up the scriptures about God's undeserved favour towards us. Begin to get that into your mind, get that into your heart, and begin to almost like pave your way into your future. It's like putting down stepping stones for yourself with these scriptures that say you have got undeserved favor, favor of God, blessing of God, favor of God, blessing of God, and begin to get that running through your head, through your mind. Favor causes us to win despite the odds. Despite the odds, despite the news, despite the media, our Father's favor causes us to win. All right? He works behind the scenes to bless us. He's doing so much more to cause me to win than I will ever know. All right. The Passion Translation in 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to look at 7, about partway through 7 and through to 9. The Passion Translation has a note with the scripture, and it says, it seems clear that Paul is speaking of the principalities and powers of darkness here, who were clueless about the efficacy of Christ's crucifixion to realign the universe and initiate a new kingdom under the Lord Jesus Christ. They were clueless. They would never have crucified Jesus had they realized the faith and glory. None of the rulers of this present world order understood it. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Did you hear that? So Passion Translation, Margaret, I'm not sure if you've got it all. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 9. Thank you. And even though you're way back there, I don't have to shout at you. Sorry. It takes a minute to click sometimes. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 9. So, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. And now, just when you found that, I'm going to change to Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 and New King James Version. And can you just leave this up, Margaret? That'd be great. Just quickly look at some of those words. We want, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Oh, have I got the wrong scripture? Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. Good. Okay, let's just have a look at the Greek words for a minute. Okay, grace, you probably know, but it means goodwill, loving, kindness, and favour. Saved, that's where we get the word sozo. Have you heard of sozo ministry? So the saved, sozo. It means rescued from danger and destruction. Gift means a present, especially a sacrifice. So if you put that together, it is by his loving kindness and favor that you have been saved from danger and destruction. It was a present. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? We already have God's favor. God's pouring out his favor on us right now and in our fed, maybe rescued you. How many? Just a show of hands. Look around the room. Look around the room. If you're home, put your hand up. There may not be anyone but the cat looking at you, but put your hand up to the faithfulness of God's favor that was actually there before you got saved. You know, I don't know how many people had spoken to me, and it was true in my own life. I prayed this prayer, God, if you are real, please do something. I've heard people say, God, if you are real, please show me you're real. You know, that actually wasn't involving any faith. That was actually just, if you're there somewhere, whatever you look like, then can you show me? Yet time and time and time and time again, I hear people tell me that that's the prayer they prayed, and suddenly there was this presence in the room. Suddenly they went all goosebumps. Suddenly this light came in the room. Suddenly a presence came into their prison cell. Again and again and again, we hear that God, after that prayer that didn't involve faith, he came in. His favor was already towards them. His love was already towards them. His favor and his love is already towards you. And just like you raised your hand and said you could see that he was already moving in your life before you got saved, don't doubt now that he isn't already moving in your future. Come on. Come on. He's got this. He's pouring out his favor on us right here and now. The Bible says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. You know that probably. Paid in full, redeemed in full, provided for in full while we weren't watching. Just like my dad. Just like my dad. Making sure that I would win. Even though I was completely ignorant of it. Completely ignorant. You, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. The Passion Translation says, Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. I was thinking of having an umbrella, but it wouldn't quite have worked this morning. And I was thinking, if I had an umbrella and I had Grant here, for instance, holding the umbrella, and I had the umbrella and pretend that was God's favor and joy, we still couldn't have it wrapped around him. He'd just be holding it. But if I had duct tape, and I thought it would have been fun, Samuel, and I had like got him to hold it here and then wrap the duct tape round and round and round about him, then it might have started to look a little bit more indicative of what God's favor is like, because it's actually attached to us. It's actually attached to us. And he pours out his blessing and his protection, and it wraps around us like a shield. So even duct tape wouldn't have been any good. Maybe if I had like some really bendy metal, like I don't know, something, aluminium foil, and wrapped it around Grant, round and round and round. It might have been a little bit more indicative of God's favor wrapping around us. But that's what the word says. Come on, I don't know about you, but there's some days I just have to slap myself around the head and say, Janet, stop looking at the media and focus again on the word of God and the faithfulness of God and the favor of God. And sometimes we just actually have to do that. All right, grace is God saying, here is all the good stuff I have to give you. Faith is you saying, thank you, I'll take it. Very simplified, but it works for me. So where do we get the faith to receive? I'm sure you know that scripture, but that it's in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. If you meditate on the media, listen to the media, profess the media, confess the media, and everything else coming out of the media, you will have faith in what the media is saying. What are we going to have coming out of our mouths? What are we going to have coming into our eyes and into our hearts on this day? We are called the children of God, the children of the light. Let's get the light and the life coming into us and coming out of our mouths, all right? We need to have the truth. Here's a quote from Gloria Copeland. If you cringe at this, I'm sorry. I like Gloria Copeland. I'm going to tell you a little story. I diverge, but I want you to know something. In the 1980s, there was a certain amount of angst towards the faith movement. And a number of the books were taken out of the Christian bookstores, written by the Copelands, written by Hay, actually happened. I was given, I don't even remember who by, a book by Gloria Copeland. I think it was called God's Will for You. And at that point, we lived in Cromwell. The doctor we went to was in Alexandra, which was quite a decent drive away. And basically, once a fortnight, when we went to get our groceries, we also went to the doctor because one of the kids would be sick. And the doctor was used to seeing us once a fortnight. There's no exaggeration. That's how it was. So I began to read this book, and it began to challenge me on whether I believed the word of God or not. And it talked about healing, and it talked about faith, and it talked about standing on the word. And as I read that book and I began to imbibe it, I then began to stand on the word for Mandy, who had ear infections constantly, been so, so sick. And the next fortnight came and no one was sick, none of the kids were sick. And then the following fortnight came and we went and got the groceries, and still everybody was healthy, so that was 2 weeks without going to the doctor. And then after about 6 months, I got pregnant with Kimberly, and so I went to the doctor, pregnancy test in those days. You couldn't just pick them up at the chemist. And he said, I thought this honest truth. He said, Dr. McCurdy was his name, and he said, I thought you'd changed doctors. And I said, why? He said, I haven't seen you for 6 months. And I said, ah, I did. So let me read from Gloria Copeland. Actually, we can't get away from God's favour. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is ready to receive the good things his grace provides. God is always searching for someone to bless. Is that you this morning? Will you be found by the blessings of God this morning? That's his nature. He's full of mercy and compassion. Because of his favour, he looks for someone who's ready to trust him, someone who is ever ready to reach out in faith to receive his favour and blessing. What are we expecting? Are we expectant of God's favour? Are we, you know, some of these scriptures, we've got to stop and think that the word actually says he's searching the earth for people to bless. This is what the word of God says. Here's a suggestion for a decree for us this morning. God encompasses me with favour like a shield. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I am favoured by God. From Psalm 5 verse 12. How about we stand to our feet? You look like you need to. It's stuff. Decree this morning. We're going to get our mouth. And many of you, I know, many of you take the word and you confess it. But I have never been in a season in my life that has had such an onslaught as the season that we're in now. And sometimes we do just need to shape up again, get in line again, and get the word of God coming out of our mouths. All right, so that's what we're doing this morning. Okay, let's decree this. God encompasses me. God encompasses me with favor like a shield. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I am favored by God. Let's do it again. I know some of you, it's got here, it needs to sink a bit more. God encompasses me with favor like a shield. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I am favored by. When you get in your car, you drive somewhere, I'm favored by God. And you, when you have your breakfast, when you have your coffee, when you got to talk to that neighbor about Jesus, I'm favored by God. Whenever you face anything that's potentially frightening or threatening, I'm favored by God. That's who I am. I'm favored by God. I've got Almighty God encompassing me, wrapping a shield around me of favor. I'm favored by God. I'm favored by God. Sound like a train. I'm favored by God. I'm favored by God. Come on, we can do this. This is who we are. This is the truth. I'm not making this up. The word of God says, I am favored by God. And this is not, I'm favored by Pollyanna who lives down the road. This is, I am favored by Almighty God who created the universe. That's who's behind me. That's who wraps around me. That's who's promised to me. Come on. I am favored by Almighty God. All right. You okay? Yes, we receive God's favor like any other spiritual promise by faith. Okay, we talked about that. Then we release our faith. Let's have a look at Abraham. He's the father of our faith. We know that. So the circumstances looked hopeless for Abraham. He was 100 or maybe even over 100 years old. He'd been given a promise by God. And they still hadn't conceived. The promise concerning having so many descendants that he wouldn't be able to count them. So he's over 100 years old. His wife is very old as well. She's been barren. The Bible says he was impotent. He's still got a promise. He's still got a faithful God. Let's have a look. Romans 4. Verse 18 to 21, I'm reading from the Amplified. I'm also going to jump to, just to help you, Margaret, but you don't have to get them all up. I'm going to jump to verse 24 and then chapter Father of Many Nations, as he had been promised. As he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. So that was the promise he'd been given. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. But this is a bit I really want to focus in on now. No unbelief or distrust made him waver and doubt any question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. And then we'll jump on down. It will be granted and credited to us also who believe, who trust in, who adhere to and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, through him which we firmly and safely stand. So the Bible tells us that he grew strong and was empowered in his faith as he gave praise and glory to God. There's a key there for us. Giving praise and glory to God strengthens us, okay? We can firmly and safely stand in God's favor. That's the rest of that scripture there as well. Now we'll look at Hebrews 4:16, and I'm pretty much wrapping up at this. Oh, I haven't got the time on. That's all right. Never mind. You're all right so far? Anyone asleep? Do you want to poke the person next to you and say, are you asleep? Or are you just praying deeply? I won't be long. I'm just on the last scripture now. Hebrews 4:16, and if we can keep that up, and, I don't know what version it is that I've got. Never mind, it's the one that says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace, and obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Why have I put the scripture in here? Because when I looked into the meaning of some of these words, I was so thrilled, and I hope you will be too. Let us boldly. That Greek word there means with frankness, bluntness, and assurance. Come to the throne of grace, the throne of favor, goodwill, and loving kindness, to obtain mercy, which means compassion and goodwill, and grace, goodwill and loving kindness, in our time of need. Now, this is the word that I was stunned to see, and some of you may have seen this before, but I hadn't. That word need is, and I'll try to say it right, it's like boeithia. It's spelled boeithia. And it means as in frapping a vessel. Now, some of the people in here may know what frapping a vessel means. I had no clue. I could remember my mother saying, don't get in a flap, but I'd never heard her say, don't get in a frap. And it's the ship's hull when it is apprehended that she is not strong enough to resist the violence of the sea. Let me read that to you now, putting those words and that understanding in. Let us therefore come boldly with frankness, bluntness, and assurance to the throne of favor, goodwill, and loving kindness to obtain compassion and goodwill in our time of frapping. I think we're in a time of frapping, people. Are we not in a time of frapping? Are we not in a time where we're facing a storm in our nation, in the world, and we actually need those big strong cords to go around us, which he says he will do, that will bind us together so that the ship will hold together and you confidently can go through the storm. That's what frapping is. He says, in your time of frapping, I will frap you. I love this. I could see it. I could see God, just like we've talked about, him wrapping himself around with a shield. We will not come apart in the storm. He has got us. I am frapped. Here's a new song. I'm frapped. I can just hear it in my head. I go there. It's all right. Grace, you know. Anyway, Paulette looks at me knowingly like, God is good to us. He wraps us around with a shield. He is there to frap us up. If he sees that the storm we are heading into is going to be too much for us, then he comes with a great big cord of love and promises and provision, and he wraps us up and he goes, now go for it. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. I've got you. Let's be bound up, frapped securely, safe and secure in his promises, in the knowledge of his faithfulness, praising him for his goodness and decreeing the truth of his word. I was thinking how we got, I had no clue, thinking about the fact that we're on this piece of land. You know, God, many of you know the story. God gave a vision in 1996 about us coming onto this land and that this was his land. We didn't know. You know, we went on and on trying to buy the land and it wasn't for sale and all these things. And it looked like it was just hopeless. It was just, Heather, I see you smiling. I remember you coming down blowing shofars over the land. We came and we got a little bit of soil off the land and we took it home and we would pray, lay hands on the soil and pray and decree. God, you said that we would inherit the land. There was so much prayer and warfare, but we didn't know that behind the scenes what God was doing. Behind the scenes, you see, if we stop and look and think for a little bit, behind the scenes, God had it that a whole lot of subdivisions would be built in this area and that there wouldn't be provision for the runoff of rain water and that the city council would need to approach someone to go in partnership with them to be able to purchase this piece of land, to be able to have it for the city council to purchase a bit of land to get you out of a spot of bother. And behind the scenes, God was orchestrating all this stuff, even though we couldn't see it from our perspective. God, we still can't buy the land and you promised us the land. And behind the scenes, he's got Bill Morgan, he's got subdivisions, he's got water runoff, he's got all this stuff, and he's getting it all lined up. And then the day came where we get the phone call, would you go in partnership with the city council to buy this piece of land? Come on. We see the faithfulness of God. We see him working behind the scenes. Even here, you're seated. Oh, goodness, you are seated here because of the faithfulness of God and his favor on Living Waters Christian Center. He is true to his promises. And we're going to wrap it up with that, but let's stand to our feet and thank him for his faithfulness and thank him for his promises. I could go on and on. Even the fact we've got this tent, you know, some of you might, I just couldn't get my head around it. Where was the money? Where do you start? And we were up visiting a friend in Auckland. And she said, what are you going to do? There's only days after the earthquake. She said, what are you going to do? And we said, well, I've got an idea about tents. And her and I both look at him like, yep, that'll work. And anyway, within a couple of days, she gets a phone call from someone in America who's had a tent ministry for years, and he rings her and he says, you wouldn't happen to know anybody in Christchurch that would want some advice on tents, would you? She said she nearly fell off her chair. You see, God was working behind the scenes, and this man had Christchurch on his heart for a couple of years. Him and his wife had been praying for Christchurch for a couple of years, and on that day, he rang my friend in Auckland and said, would you happen to know anybody in Christchurch that needs some advice on tents? And this man has had a ministry for many years with big tents just like this. And he's harvested, need to be positioned on the land for the kind of winds that we get and everything else. And then two big ministries in America take up offerings for the purchase of them. Come on, have we not seen the faithfulness and favor of God in this house? And he was working behind the scenes when we didn't even know it, because that's what he's like. He's like my dad. My dad was like him, and working behind the scenes to make sure you win. to make sure you win. Even if you've got a battered old draggly doll in the doll competition, your dad is towards you and he's working behind the scenes so you win. We win this. Have you read the end of the book? We win. He's with us. He's going ahead of us. He's been behind us. We testified to that this morning. He is so good. Father, this morning, we want to thank you. Actually, there's that song. We'll sing it at the end if we can. You have done a storm, and I had a couple of lines in there that I thought, oh, that's just what I want to talk about this morning. But while they're getting sorted, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you that you're not a God that you should lie, but you are faithful to us. Father, thank you that, Lord, we testified this morning that you've been behind us and protected us and brought us to this place. And Father, we testify now, Lord God, in faith that you are with us today and that you are going forward into our future. And we can confidently hope in you and your promises coming to pass. Father, you are a good God. Just take a minute or two to tell him yourself. Now, I want to hear a murmur right across this place of people telling God how good he is, of reminding yourself and him of his faithfulness, of how he came through with wedding rings, with healing, with miracles, with signs and wonders, of people being saved all over this house. I know of your testimonies of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, of his favor, and that's what we're going to put ahead of us, and that's what we're going to have coming out of our mouths in these days. Father, I thank you for your goodness, you're a good God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Right. I'm aware that there may be some of you here or watching online, and you haven't come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You haven't come into a relationship with the Father who loves you. But you may be able to even now look and see how he's moved through your life, how he's rescued you and he's protected you, and you can see all these unexplained circumstances in your life that only God could be the answer to them. And right now, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Because I tell you what, anybody who has got any inkling or nous at the moment will see that there's some things going on in the world today that very much line up with some things in the Bible talking about end times. If you have never read the book of Daniel, have a look. If you've never read the book of Revelation, have a look. I tell you what, today is not a day to muck around knowing that he's got your back and he's wrapped around you. So if there's anybody here and you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're out of relationship with him, you were once with him walking closely, but now you just feel a bit flimsy in your faith, I'm inviting you to come to the front so we'll pray for you. The other thing that popped into my head was that there may be people here this morning or online, and you've really been battling with fear. Now, fear, God has given us the ability to be fearful of things when something's dangerous so that adrenaline kicks in and we can run fast or leap over a wall or whatever we need to. That's okay. But sometimes fear gets around us and it's actually a demonic stronghold. Now, we have authority to break strongholds in Jesus' name. So if you're troubled with fear and you're here, or you're online, I want you right now just to, if you hear it, God actually wants to break that off you and set you free this morning. Or right now, whenever you're watching this, if you're having problem with that, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, but we have been given authority over principalities and powers, over strongholds for reason, because we have authority to break them off people. Because they do try to entangle people, okay? So if you're troubled with any of that stuff, come on up, and I'll get the team to help with me, and we'll just set you free. I'm sure there's more than one person here, but that's all right. And anybody here needing to turn their lives to Jesus, to get back in line with Jesus, now is not a day to muck about. I just feel like there's somebody just, I don't know if you're online or you're here or in the overflow, but I just feel like there's somebody and you feel like you're wavering backwards and forwards. I cannot say it strongly enough. goes before me. I need to know that in this day. I do not want to be walking in a place of complete vulnerability with the enemy on my tail. I need to know that God has got my back. Everybody pray in tongues that can, please. Shakata rabasakaranda. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for courage to infuse that person, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have followed them up, you have followed them through their life, Lord God. You have touched them, Lord. And right now, Father, we ask for courage, Lord God, for them to be able to take a hold of you in a whole new way, Lord God, to throw themselves in your arms of mercy, just like that prodigal son, Lord, running from the pig pen and running back and going back to his father's house and finding that the father was running towards him. Thank you, Father God. You run towards them. You run towards them with your favor. You run towards them with your covering, Lord God. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sin, and he rose again. I thank you, Father, that because of the work of the cross, I can come before you boldly. You have forgiven all my sins and made me clean. I receive you now, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so anybody that's having a problem with fear getting around their minds, if you want to come forward and we'll pray, we'll break that off. And I'll just release the worship team. Can we go into that again? Or does good? Okay, fantastic. Thank you.